A big hello and a warm welcome to everyone. My name is Simon Pittman, and I will be your host for this podcast panel discussion brought to you by InCosmetics Connect about how the supply chain has been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. This is part of a series of podcasts that will look at the most pressing issues facing the beauty and personal care industry during what has proved to be an unprecedented situation for business worldwide. Today, we have assembled some of the leading industry experts to share their view on the impact the pandemic is having on the market, how that is impacting the supply chain, and to find out how companies are responding to these challenges. So next, I'd like to introduce you to our panel, who represent very different areas of the industry. First of all, we have Gay Timmons, who is the founder of organic ingredients provider OO Organic and president of NOBA, the Natural and Organic Health and Beauty Alliance. And she will be detailing how the pandemic has impacted the sourcing and supply of raw materials and natural ingredients. Gay, if you'd care to say a big hello to our listeners.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for being here, Gay. Next, we have Greg Starkman, who is the CEO at InnerSense Organic Beauty. And he'll be sharing with us some of the insights the company has noted in recent months with respect to its supply chain. Greg, say a big hi to everyone, please.
Good morning, everybody. I hope we're all finding you well and healthy.
Hey, thanks, Greg. And we are also honored to include Jean Rapp, who is the Managing Director of Operations at Croda. And he'll be sharing the observations made by this leading ingredients provider on the needs of cosmetic and personal care formulators. We will proceed by asking a set of questions that target each of our panelists' expertise, but I might add that any of you are welcome to chip in with your thoughts in response to any of the panelists' questions. So here goes for the first round of questions, which I would like to pose to Gay. So my first question to Gay is, which natural and organic beauty and personal care ingredients or raw materials have been hardest hit during the crisis? And maybe you could explain to us why this is as well.
In terms of the ingredients themselves, some of the countries that have been affected, since this is international, are still shut down. So, for example, I have a number of things I source from India. I can't get them out of India. So I'm hearing right now that I'll be able to source some of those materials in June, but I'm not clear whether that means they're going to leave India in June or get here in June, or maybe both, if we're lucky. And so it's really specific to country. In terms of the overall pattern, the biggest problem I'm having, because I do have backup supplies, I sort of saw this coming and bought up a lot of stuff. So much of what we do, since we work exclusively with natural and organic ingredients, is in public warehousing, and all of those warehouses are working on skeleton crews. So the delivery of those products out of those warehouses, which are all over the country, is quite delayed on occasion. Instead of 2 or 3 days or 4 days, it's now up to 2 weeks. So I think those are the two main things that are happening.
Okay, so it seems that stockpiling and having plenty of stock at hand is perhaps the solution to this kind of problem in the longer run.
Yes, if you know it's coming.
Yes. So what areas of your business have proved to be more resilient, and why is this? How are other businesses coping with this? I presume you're chatting with counterparts in the industry, so that would be nice to have that insight.
It really depends, because each distributor is so unique in the range of things they offer. We're lucky to a certain extent, because organic materials especially are food. And so the food While there may be issues in meat and things like that because of potential problems, the same problem does not exist in oil production or vitamin E production or things like that that are being made from natural plant materials. So I think we are far less impacted than people who may be looking for specific products that are more highly manufactured. I know also we represent a fragrance and extract house, and they had to send so many people home. So again, skeleton crews. I continue to see that for everyone involved, the biggest problem is delay more than it is a complete absence of a product.
Yeah. And has this, you know, skeleton crew issue, has this hit you as well? And how have you overcome that at your warehouse?
Yeah, of course it has. We sent anybody who didn't put their hands on product downstairs home. I'm in California, Northern California, and we were one of the first places to shut down after the Far East. So, and certainly in the United States, I think we were the first area to shut down the San Francisco Bay Area, because we shut everything down in the beginning of March. So I sent anybody home that I didn't need, and then I cut back on normal staff who would be packing product. So we actually are part of that delay. You know, it may take us 3 or 4 days instead of 2 to 3 days to ship stuff out, simply because I've had, you know, after 20 years of doing this, I'm back on the floor putting oil in 5-gallon pails and shipping it out. But that's really what we've done. We also, when you have a warehouse, you have a lot more space. It's easier for us to manage it. We had to write a COVID plan and explain in writing, posted on the wall, how everyone would be protected, which I did on March 10th. And that's how we've responded. Everybody has their own phone. Everybody has their own gloves. Everybody has to, you know, check in when they come in terms of, you know, moderating their health. It probably helps that I'm a physiologist by training. So I look at people a little differently than others.
Right.
I look at their health.
Either way, it sounds like hard work.
It's a lot more work. I mean, I thought that GMPs and organic compliance and all that were a pain in the ass. This goes far beyond that. Excuse my language.
Right. Okay. So one last question for you, Gay. How are you working with ingredient suppliers to ensure that you have an adequate supply for the longer term?
I've always done year-long forecasting, simply because when you work with agricultural materials, you have to know what the agricultural cycle is. So I start with farm cycles and project from there and work with my companies. Plus, I add in what I see as growth. And that's the biggest challenge, is to try and figure out where growth is right now. I seem to be seeing a larger demand for simpler ingredients, more sustainably sourced ingredients. And so that's allowed me to kind of take a wild guess at what we're going to need in the future.
Right. And what specific ingredients have there been sort of runs on your big demand for?
Alcohol. Everybody wants alcohol, which we don't have. However, we're right. About to have a new organic alcohol production facility open up close to us, and we will be offering their product. But anything that goes in hand sanitizer, which is a fairly limited list, a lot of organic glycerin, a lot of essential oils, a bit of a natural vitamin E. And then I would say all of the other ingredients that are used in lotions, because people's hands. I have to say, that's really, I can kind of see the direct correlation in those requirements.
Right. Okay, that's wonderful. Thanks for that insight. Very useful information there, Gay. So now we're going to move further up the supply chain by asking Greg some questions about what's happening on the finished product side. My first question to you, Greg, have you seen demand for any specific types of ingredients peaking during the crisis? And if so, why?
Well, I think, one, we're in the fact that we're managing with a rolling 9-month production plan. So we're working with our supply partners far out and buying forward with them on raw ingredients. To Gay's big point, I think the main issue right now seems to be logistics. I think the materials are available. It's just about getting them to us. And we're seeing this not only in raw ingredients, but we're also seeing it in components as well. So those are some of the immediate impacts that we're seeing.
Right. Okay, great. So how have you worked around any sort of blockages in the supply chain? Obviously, some ingredients are in limited supply right now, but I believe you have a strategy in place to avoid that. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, we maintain a fairly high level of on-hand inventory anyway, so we're out anywhere between 22 to 26 weeks on hand, so we're always ahead of it. Of course, these delays are putting pressure on us that we'll feel probably 3 to 4 months from now. You know, it's kind of hard when you're trying to manage a business and continue to keep your revenue flow up. You don't want to begin to not sell. So I think that, we're working with our suppliers and our finished goods suppliers to make sure that they're well aware of what's coming down the pike. And if we need to make ingredient changes to accommodate our formulas, then we'll have to look at doing that. But we're not really foreseeing that right now at all.
Okay. And I asked Gay a very similar question. I wanted to put this question to you as well. How are you working with ingredient suppliers to ensure that you have an adequate supply for the longer term?
Again, you know, it's just our normal standard operating procedure to be out 9 months on a production plan on everything that we're doing, from ingredients to components. So we already have POs and everything in the system, and so they should be also planning accordingly to accommodate us. And it's also in their, plans. But as I noted, we're beginning to see a logistical slowdown, not driven by the availability, but driven by the logistics of being able to get those materials to us.
Right. And presumably, some areas of your sales have been impacted by the crisis, so that may have dampened demand, or is that not the case? I know you have quite a lot of exposure to the digital side, so.
Right. So, we primarily focus on four channels of business, and of course, our professional business, like everything else, came to a screeching halt at the end of March. Of course, that's a fairly big piece of our business. Our digital arm has been extremely strong, and we've seen just tremendous spikes in that, along with our .com partners have also seen a significant shift and growth in their digital and .com strategy. So it's eased the pain, so to speak. And then, of course, our international arm is beginning to see a little bit of light of day as Europe is becoming, starting to rebound a little bit more quickly than we are here in the U.S.
Right. But presumably you envisage the opening up strategy being implemented in the U.S. and eventually there'll be another spike in demand in your domestic market.
Oh, am I correct? I think within the professional, the salon space, I think the demand's going to be there. I think it's going to be a slow recovery. And again, this is going to be factored on region. And I think that it's just a matter of course, the economy also plays into it, the amount of spendable income. So a lot of things are going to factor. I normally say I've been in this business long enough to say beauty is really resilient. It always seems to be one of the fastest sectors to rebound quickly. I believe that we'll see that, but I still think it's going to be kind of more of a slow growth period, I think, through the fourth quarter before we'll actually start seeing a much more healthier rebound into the first quarter of 2021.
That's great. Well, great insight there, Greg. Thank you very much for that. So now let's move on to what's been observed by global ingredients provider Croda during the crisis. And here's my first question for you, Jean. In what ways have you had to ramp up support for your customers during the pandemic?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Well, as a preamble, I would like to highlight the fact that this crisis is or has been in different phases or stages in the different countries around the world. So the challenges were different and evolving at different pace, depending where we operate and where we serve our customer. And therefore, the way we ramped up the support has been mainly relying on our agility to adapt to the fast changing and the different situation again around the globe. But just to list some of the important aspects of Croda's support to its customer, the first aspect is obviously to remain able to get products made and made for them. And the key point here has been to start by taking the maximum care of our people, and to that they have always felt safe, remain motivated and contributed to maintain all of our activities, either on our facilities or indeed when working from home. And actually, this mindfulness on our people has significantly boosted their dedication and motivation. And we heard that either directly or through the survey we conducted. And by doing the right thing, anticipating the needed measures, or learning from some of our facilities that were ahead on their response compared to other regions, and going beyond what the government were asking, for instance. And one example is providing, in some cases, some personal support, if and when necessary. We did not have to incur almost any manufacturing facilities or closure. Maximum was some slowdown and in a very limited manner. And I had indeed multiple accounts of operators on our manufacturing sites thanking Croda for the level of response, some confessing that in some cases at the early days they felt we are doing too much, but they soon realized it was necessary and good compared to what was happening to some of their relatives or friends. So keeping our manufacturing up and running to get the product for our customer was a starting point. The next one was, once we keep on the product being manufactured, was to get those products to our customer. And that was the next challenge. And everything we did was underpinned by our supply chain model and basically Croda's mantra, which is being close to customer, no filter between them and, for instance, our reps, direct contacts, and so on and so forth. So in doing so, we have been able to keep a high speed or high level of response, for instance, to the rapidly changing needs of our customer, the changing plan, the changing demand, because we have seen demands coming down, but we have also seen places where demand has been going up for some of the ingredients. So that was the second point. And the third one was actually getting the product to the customer. So that goes with, for instance, the physical proximity of the product to the customer, again, around the globe in all the regions where we are operating. So getting the stock at the right place, right time. And when I say keeping the stock close to customer, it's in the region, but sometime in all the way down to the country of sales. And the last one was, or the last two ones were, from an operation perspective, again, having multiple manufacturing sites for some of our key products in the different regions allowed, or may have allowed us to respond to any impact on one of our sites. But actually, we barely use this this flexibility because simply thanks to the action I was mentioning earlier on, that prevented for having our manufacturing site being impacted or excessively slowing down. The last element I would mention also quickly is as we took care of our people, we also took care of the truck drivers, for instance. I can take the example of what happened in Europe. I mean, the transport, the road transport did continue to happen, but what happened was that the drivers could not find any facility on their journey. They could only find the fuel available, but no facility to wash toilets or anything like that. And we did recognize that, and very early, we provided those transport companies facilities on our site to get some rest, get some being washed, etc. And in return, we get a privileged service from some of those freight companies. Taking care of people is a key element in those crises, and we get much in return.
That's fascinating. Sounds like the right approach as well. A good investment in manpower. So my next question for you, Jean, is, has the supply of raw materials been impacted by the pandemic? If so, in what way and how have you overcome this?
So yes, some of our raw material have been impacted by this COVID situation, but not much at the end. And what occurred is either there were some interruption of availability, for instance, of some natural oils coming from India. I heard that earlier on. Yes, we have been facing that. And also by some hurdles on transport, deep sea transport, for instance. But generally, this has been relatively limited. Again, some tight situation occurred, but ultimately, I don't recall having to face any delay in our customer service directly caused by raw material situation. And actually, in several instances, just as we help our people, we help some of our suppliers in their activity. And like I was pleased to hear from some of our employees thanking Croda for taking care of them, I have received similar letters from some suppliers, particularly in Italy, where without our help and support, they would have had to stop manufacturing. So we have helped them, justifying the fact that they were in some instances in critical activities from the supplies they were providing to Croda, and get the authorization from their government to continue operating. So again, taking care of your supplier is an important element. And what we've done to face the tight situation has been mostly to activate some of Croda's already existing business continuity plans with multiple sourcing, backup sourcing in different regions. These continuity plans were already in place, and as I said, we activated them. There was also another way which helped Croda in facing this situation is the fact that the company is very decentralized, and we are operating a very highly interconnected network of entities, be they our manufacturing sites, or sales entity, or warehouses. And this network, this very fast-responding network and interconnected network has helped in several instances to find alternative, rapidly alternative sources And I was mentioning this natural oil shortage from India. We rapidly have been able to find alternative sources in Brazil, for instance. And Brazil has been supporting Europe and other regions in a quite swift manner, I would say.
Okay, that's great to hear. So I've got one final question for you, Jean. I'd like to know how you see the supply chain developing or evolving now that lockdown measures are beginning to be dismantled. Do you think there's going to be any changes to the supply chain in view of what's happened?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sure that we'll see some changes. But the first thing is that we should not underestimate the fact that there is a remaining situation to be managed. So it's not only the change in the future, but we are still in the middle of the situation. In some cases, we only start seeing the impact of the current situation. But anyhow, the way we are looking at the future is definitely looking at the various different possible outcome of the crisis we're in. We are building different scenarios. I would say we have roughly four different scenarios, and we are reviewing our operating model, the configuration of our network, our practices, our ways of working, and make sure that either we can respond to any of these scenarios, depending on which one could arise, or anticipate the adjustment we may have to do to be able to answer those scenarios. However, it would be very pretentious today to tell how I see the supply chain developing. I mean, there are many people making very presumptuous or bold statements about it. I would personally remain very humble. I don't know the future, but what I know is that our agility and the closeness to customer I was mentioning earlier on will be even greater tomorrow as it is today. It will be even more necessary to be able to respond swiftly, as I said earlier on, to whatever is the direction taken, whatever is the scenario that could realize. So I would close this point with highlighting the fact that we are accelerating our digitalization, where indeed we are focusing on engagement with customers through an increased commitment and through an increased investment in this digitalization. We are trying to make the information more quickly accessible through channels where our customers are present. And we will continue and accelerate this important evolution, again, to support the closeness and the agility, which are the key aspect for Croda.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, Sean. So that actually brings us to the end of our panel discussion. I'd like to thank our panelists, Gay, Greg, and Jean, collectively for their incredible insights. And to you, our listeners, for tuning into this podcast hosted by me, Simon Pittman, and brought to you by InCosmetics Connect. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.